Become our friend on Facebook. Post on our wall your thoughts about our shows and network. Visit Facebook.com/Voice America.
The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Sports Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit VoiceAmericaSports.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit VoiceAmerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the hosts or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
No, he didn't slam you, he didn't bump you, he didn't nudge you, he rubbed you. And rubbing, son, is racing.
Gentlemen, start your engines.
This is Pit Pass USA, the fastest auto racing location on the internet, with the latest news, the best interviews, and our own brand of commentary. Here's your host, Larry Henry.
Hi again, everyone, and welcome to another edition of Pit Pass USA. Glad to have you on board. Got a very, very busy night tonight. We're going to talk a lot of different types of racing. We'll kick it off talking a little NASCAR with Lee Spencer from FoxSports.com about the Chase, two races in. We'll talk a little NHRA, a lot of it, actually. Antoine Brown, who won in Top Fuel. He's got five wins this year. We'll talk to Bob Tassett, a third from Funny Car. Got his first win in 2 years. And we'll talk about the Nissan Delta Wing that's going to make its second appearance on the race course this year at Road Atlanta and Petit Le Mans. We'll talk to one of the drivers, Gunnar Jeanette. But first, let's kick it off by talking a little NASCAR Sprint Cup action. Two races down, eight to go to make up the chase for the Sprint Cup this year in NASCAR. And it's been interesting so far through the first two. And to talk about that and more, joining me now from FoxSports.com is Lee Spencer. Lee, welcome. And it is interesting.
It's very interesting. I think that looking at just the first two races, is the top guys in the field have really separated themselves. I mean, you know, you look at the top six compared to the bottom six, and I think there's a dramatic difference. I mean, the drivers in the bottom six, they're already almost a full race behind, and so it's going to be really difficult to catch up over these next 10 races. These next eight races. We said going in that, you know, you'd really have to have perfect days. And, I mean, in the past chases, we've seen the champions emerge that have, you know, top five or better average finishes throughout the whole deal. And, you know, one bad miscue, and next thing you know, you're waiting until next year.
And Jimmy Johnson, that's what he's done. I mean, back-to-back runner-up finishes. Yeah, he'd like to get some wins. And we saw last year, of course, Tony Stewart do it by winning five times out of the 10 races. But he's been Mr. Consistency. Brad Keselowski stole the first race of the chase and fought back to get a top 10 finish. Denny Hamlin calls it out. Hey, I'm going to win at New Hampshire. He does. He's right there. And, I mean, the top six, you've got 15 points separating them. And you got a couple of wild cards along the way with Martinsville and, of course, Talladega.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, the Hendrick cars, they're always really good at Martinsville. And I would expect Denny to be strong there, too, because it's another, you know, flat oval like New Hampshire. Whatever they had, they were dialed up. And I think you could see that by how Darian Grubb, when the cameras got up on the pit box, he was going to hide every little last secret he had up on his computer screen and, you know, basically just shooed them away. So, whatever they have figured out on short, flat tracks, they're pretty stout. And I wouldn't expect, you know, and Denny's run well at Martinsville. It's been a good track for him. So I think that they're going to give them, he's going to give the field a run for the money all the way through. And, you know, we thought that from the beginning because he ended the first 26 races on such a high.
I think one of the surprises, at least me, when I look at things, is Greg Biffle and Matt Kenseth. They've been nowhere to be seen in the first two races, and I would have thought, especially at Chicago, a mile-and-a-half track, they could excel, but they've had problems.
Well, they've never been really good at Chicagoland for whatever reason. I mean, it's a truly an anomaly because as solid as Roush, you think of Roush being on intermediate tracks, they've been missing in the action at Chicagoland, which makes it very difficult because they're not that great at New Hampshire either. And then Carl Edwards, I mean, I know he's not, you know, in the chase, but when you think about where he was a year ago to where he is now, he's, you know, an afterthought. I mean, his name hasn't come up. The guy hasn't posted a top five since Fontana. He hasn't won since, you know, Las Vegas in 2011. And so it's like you're sitting there scratching your head. Did the whole deal with Matt Kenseth leaving really disrupt that organization? Because, you know, the guy that has been a pinnacle of Roush Fenway Racing for, you know, more than a decade is going out the door. And I think it has a lot of people scared that if Matt Kenseth can leave, what does that mean for the future of Roush Racing? And, you know, with him leaving, with Carl off on his own little planet, I think you have three teams going in three different directions rather than working together. The strength of the Toyota organization this season is the fact that they have six cars all on the same page. It is like a six-car team. It's truly factory-backed. They're all working together. And I'll tell you, you know, let's take New Hampshire, for instance. Last year in that race, Brian Vickers was the only Toyota among the top 10 in the finishers at that race. On Sunday, you not only did Toyota win, they had three other drivers up in the top 10. So that tells you how far their program has come over the last year. Getting rid of Red Bull was probably the best thing because it made everybody work together. And, you know, you look at their race totals for the win, they have more wins in the Toyota camp than Chevrolet, than Ford, than Dodge. And that's really saying something.
We're time with Lee Spencer of FoxSports.com here on Pit Pass USA. And Lee, the one thing that might be overlooked a little bit, or maybe it's not, is Dale Earnhardt Jr. He has been Mr. Consistency all year long, and suddenly two races in, he's 26 points down. Now, there's a lot of races to go, and of course, Talladega is a place you expect him later on to excel, but it's a little surprising since he was always, it seemed, competing for wins and top fives almost every weekend.
I think he had that first miscue in the pits on lap 42 where he kind of overshot the pits. I mean, he didn't go outside his box, but he wasn't lined up where he needed to be to have, you know, a perfect pit stop. Then he runs over the air hose, you know, so it screwed things up again. He goes from 9th to 19th, and, you know, the one thing about Dale Jr., in the last year, his confidence is such that if he has a bad day like that, he's been able to recover. I swear, Sunday, it looked like the Dale Jr. of old. And, you know, it's really tough to say because ask any owner in the garage who they want to see win the championship. And after their own driver, you know, it's Dale Earnhardt Jr. We all know what a championship, you know, with Jr. would do for the health of the sport, which it so desperately needs right now. But my goodness, it's, you know, you just kind of scratched your head because on, you know, Friday he's talking about he wish he would have had some of his years back so he could have really put his full attention on being, you know, a top-like competitor. You know, he said he had a good time. He doesn't regret it because, he did have fun along the way. But when you look at the big picture of things, you know, now he's playing makeup for all the bad habits of the last 15 years. And, you know, he still has time to persevere, but, it was disconcerting seeing the kind of finish that they put up on Sunday. It's, you know, had they not taken that two-tire stop, finishing 13th, you know, it would have probably been impossible.
Well, we're talking about Dale Jr. What about what's going on with his nationwide team? Of course, the two Urys, Jr. and Sr., are gone. He's talking about trying to maybe find a veteran driver to come in and kind of show where the team is. They've been talking about sponsorship because GoDaddy is going to go with Danica, obviously, we think, still, to Sprint Cup next year full-time. What's going on there with JR Motorsports?
Well, I think it all comes down to sponsorship. They're going to lose a huge sponsorship with Danica Patrick, and I don't know how steady that sponsorship is going to be going forward beyond next year. It's been taken over by an investment group. They're not big NASCAR fans, and so it's going to be curious to see the transformation of GoDaddy up at the top level. I mean, I think you're going to see a sponsor other than GoDaddy on the number 10 car when she gets to Stuart Haas Racing next year. But as far as JR Motorsports or Junior Motorsports, it's been it's been tough for them to get sponsorship as well. And you have to have it because the purses aren't anywhere close to what they are in Cup. It's a lot, it's kind of like a loss leader. You want to have the nationwide series so you have drivers getting an opportunity to get up to speed and be ready to make the jump from nationwide to Cup, but it doesn't make any money. Nobody makes any money in nationwide. It's just kind of crazy. But that being said, without sponsorship, they're going to be in a world of hurt. Before the Urys went out the door, they were saying that they wanted to see a Cup guy in there, but it was the Urys that wanted Cole Whip because they saw his potential and thought he was going to be a hot commodity in the future. So, you're kind of stuck between a rock and a hard place. It was always Junior's philosophy to, find drivers, give them a chance. He gave Brad Keselowski a chance to get turned into a superstar. I don't have to tell you that because, he grew up pretty close to your backyard in Michigan. So, when you think about that and trying to find the balance, but you're struck by the cruel reality that sponsors don't want to take a chance on an unknown, and they don't want to take a chance on kids. So unless you're a commodity, as Danica is, it's really tough finding the kind of money that's going to make a nationwide deal work. So, we had the big announcement on Monday. Kurt Busch is going over to Furniture Row Racing, and he's displacing Regan Smith. And my bet is that Regan Smith ends up at JRM as that veteran driver who has been through several years of nationwide, has gone to Cup. And, given the state of the sport right now, given the economy, and given the fact that Dodge Motorsports has decided to take a hiatus from NASCAR, that cut out three top rides that would have been going to Sprint Cup drivers. So, a guy like Regan Smith can go to JRM. He can work with Ryan Pemberton, who he worked with at Ginn Racing for 7 races before he made the jump to, his rookie status when they had the merger with Dale Earnhardt Incorporated, and, kind of put the band back together there. The move with Ryan Pemberton over there was certainly signified that, Hendrick Motorsports was kind of flexing their muscles a little bit with JRM. I mean, initially, Rick was supposed to be a quarter partner along with, Kelly Earnhardt Miller and Junior and Tony Urey Jr. But to really make use of all the technology that Hendrick Motorsports has to offer, you had to have somebody as a liaison at JRM that was willing to, play the game and share the technology and understand the technology and use it to innovate over at JRM. And, that was always a problem for the Urys because they were old school and, they thought that their methods were tried and true, but that company had not won a race in 2 years. So, they did what they had to do.
Very quickly, what do you look for at Dover this weekend? I just was doing some stats and I saw where Matt Kenseth, and we talked about him earlier, 9 of the last 10 races there, he has finished 5th or better. I mean, that's pretty stout going into Dover this weekend. But again, they have been struggling.
Well, I think he's, quite frankly, at 11, I think he's out. Jeff Gordon, out, done. I mean, I don't see either one of them coming back. Not to say Matt's not talented and has, the possibility to do that. He could win. He would have to set second place, finish it out all the way, and I don't see that happening. Jimmy Johnson is going to be the guy to beat this weekend. When you look at what his record is, what, 7 wins and 21 starts, I mean, that's like a win every third start. So the Roush cars will be strong. The Jimmy Johnson will be strong. And you have guys like Hamlin and Keselowski that have never run well there that are really going to have to step it up. If you look at the top 6 guys in the chase right now, only Jimmy Johnson has wins at that track, and everybody else kind of fears the Johnson. So, looking forward, I think that it's going to be pretty much them, pretty much smoke, That's kind of how it's going to shake out.
Lee Spencer of FoxSports.com. It is going to be very interesting, but boy, the way Jimmy Johnson has been there consistently, second the first two races, got the points lead at the moment. I mean, there's a lot of guys that come on and get hot. I still like someone like a Clint Boyer who's just been around there all the time and quietly is only 15 points out of first, but Dover's going to be a big one coming up this weekend on the Monster Mile. Next up, we turn our attention to the NHRA, where some great battles are going on, especially in Top Fuel, where it is tied atop the points. We'll talk to the latest winner, Antron Brown, when we return to Pit Pass USA, part of the Power Motorsports Series on VoiceAmericaSports.com.
Your internet flagship station for sports, Voice America Sports.
Are you a real sports fan? Get ready to talk football and anything else sports with Kwame Lassiter. Formerly with the Arizona Cardinals, San Diego Chargers, and St. Louis Rams. Kwame's got the experience, so he's prepared to talk sports with you. Every week on Kwame Lassiter's Sports Talk. It's on the Voice America Sports Network every Tuesday at 9 a.m. Pacific Time, noon Eastern Time. Get ready for unpredictable fun and sometimes a sarcastic look at the world of sports. That's Kwame Lassiter's Sports Talk on the Voice America Sports Network.
If you want to talk about the East Coast sports scene, particularly from the Southeast, make sure you tune in to the Jeff Owen Show every Tuesday. Yeah, we'll talk about some of the other teams and news that's out there, but host Jeff Owens and co-host Tasha Humphrey know the inside and out of the Georgia college sports world, and they were born there, raised there, and still live the scene. We'll talk about every sport imaginable. Tune in on Tuesday at 7 p.m. East Coast time, 4 p.m. in the West, on the Voice America Sports Channel.
Sports have become a big part of everyone's lives today. We all have that team that we live and breathe to follow. We watch hours of football on TV, play Madden Sports on our gaming system, and our wives can't seem to tear us from the couch. If this sounds like you, or if you're a football wife who wants a few words, we want to hear from you. Listen for Life, Love, and Sports, featuring your host, Ron Dixon. Ron takes you inside the world of sports and finds out what you, the fan, are talking about today. Listen Wednesdays at 5 p.m. Eastern, 2 p.m. Pacific on Voice America Sports.
Your internet flagship station for sports.
Voice America Sports.
You're listening to Pit Pass USA with Larry Henry. To leave comments or suggest future guests for the show, email us at LarryHenry@PitPassUSA.com. That's LarryHenry@PitPassUSA.com. Now back to more of the fastest show in motorsports, Pit Pass USA with Larry Henry.
Two of the six races that make up the countdown to one in the NHRA Full Throttle Drag Racing Series in the books. And I tell you what, it didn't get much wilder than it is right now in Top Fuel because it is a dead heat tie in the first spot. And the guy that moved into the tie with his fifth win of the year is joining me now, the driver of the Matco Tools Toyota Top Fuel Dragster. That is Antron Brown. Antron, welcome and congrats on getting the fifth Wally this season.
Thanks, buddy. Man, it feels good, man. It was a tough, hard-fought battle, and, we stayed poised, man. We never gave up, and during the countdown for a championship, we came too far, and after we got done racing Charlotte and we broke that input share first round, man, it kind of took the wind out of all of our sails, and we just had to keep on digging deep.
Well, you obviously have done that, and you went up against your teammate Spencer Massey in the finals, and that's who you are tied with right now. But when I look at all of the standings in Top Fuel, even 10th David Grubnick's only 181 points out of first.
Exactly. I mean, it's very close between all of us right now racing. So we just gotta keep on going, man. And think about it: if you lose one round right now, that's a big problem because if you lose that one round. If you lose that one round, you're going to be at the end of the pack looking up, and you're going to have no time to make it up.
What's this been like for you, though, this year with the five wins to lead everyone and being in contention and being in the final round so many times this year? I think it's 10 finals and 19 races.
Yes, and the cool part is that we was able to come out with five of those wins out of those 10 finals, but it's just, I mean, it could go either way. The race has been so tight. We've been winning them by four or five. thousands of a second. And I mean, our racing has been been tired in pro stock car, and we're racing a top fuel car. So that's what makes it really interesting for us to actually get those wins in top fuel. I never thought I'll see top fuel as competitive as it is right now. And it definitely is the most competitive sport has ever seen in top fuel.
Well, when I looked at your ETs when you were doing eliminations, it was like they came down every round all the way to the very end, which is kind of tough to do considering Dallas. I think it was, 91 degrees on Sunday?
Yeah, it got up to be 93 degrees outside, and the track temp got almost up. It got up to like 136, 138 degrees. And with that being said, though, the NHRA Safety Safari guys, they were doing a heck of a job keeping that track tight and right for us out there, because I couldn't believe the ETs. I saw these guys were running on that hot of a track. Like, we should be running like high 90s, and these guys were going out there running like 90 flats, 88s, 89s. And funny car guys are running like 416 on that track. And it's a true testament on how great that just what the kind of job they were doing on the racetrack surface.
What's it like for your team right now? One, they've got to be sky high because of what you've been able to do. But it's in a grueling stretch because we go back to Indianapolis with the rain delay. That meant the off week that was going to lead into four in a row disappeared. And then teams, of course, testing going into Indianapolis. I mean, this is a long haul for these guys each and every week to get the cars done. And in the battle, temperatures like you had outside, and they're just under a tent. There's no air conditioning out there when they're working.
No, it's not. And I feel really bad for where our crew guys been going through. It's been really, really drooling on them guys, because if you look back to Brainerd, they've been on the road for over 8 straight weeks, because we came back from Brainerd. Everybody thought we had a weekend off. Well, it was a week just to prep, because we went test at the U.S. Nationals the week before the U.S. Nationals. So they tested that whole time. Then we ran the U.S. Nationals. Then we ran the U.S. Nationals again the following week that they proposed to have off. And now we got 4 in a row. So These guys are definitely on the marathon pace, and you can see the tension rising, because you can see in the crew members' face when you struggle a little bit, like, you know, they're even more down because they're burnt out, they're worn out, and they have no break. So, man, it's definitely going to be a real true test of who's going to be a true champion at the end of this year, because it's going to be one of those marathon battles that you have to fight through with a sprint at the end.
Well, you're sitting there, as I said, in first. Your teammate Spencer Massey is tied with you, but you've got the tiebreaker, obviously, because of the 5 wins, and another one, Tony Schumacher, lurking there. How much information do you guys share before you go out and get there and get ready to stage?
We share a lot of, like, you know, information. It's hard to really share amongst teams right now. Like, we actually share parts and technology. The hardest part is that everybody has different clutches and stuff like that. And it's hard to share information, because what works on their car won't work on our car. So that's what it really boils down to. You can have like 3 the same drivers, 3 the same cars, you think. And then when you actually go down the racetrack, you can tell that they're different because they act and respond differently. And now as the countdown, trust me, everybody's got all their books and all their data closed, because we all want to win the championship. You get what I mean? So it really helped out during a regular race season, but right now is every team for itself.
But we always talk about, you know, teams, and where we got to come together, and, you know, it's for the team. We got to get Don Schumacher Racing the title this year, and let's help each other out. And then when you get out there, okay, guys, everything else is off, but you see, you really can't work that way because of the differences.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of people don't realize is, like, you know, you could build 2 the exact same cars. Like, we even have, like, my backup car. I can jump in my backup car, and my backup car wants something totally different than the car that I'm racing with right now. You know what I mean? So when you take that into account, and then, like, the U.S., just give it an example, U.S. Army team. Well, they have different clutch plates than we have, because you can't get all the same clutch plates. We wish you can. You get what I mean? And that's been the biggest problem in fuel racing. Well, you get those clutch discs. Well, one disc are more aggressive than the other, and you go out there and you run, so we have to run our clutch different than the Army car has to run theirs. So when you look at all those kind of different aspects, you can look at a run and say, okay, well, they were kind of aggressive in this area, and we could say we could get more aggressive in that area too. So we'll go there. That's what the track holds. And pretty much what we look at that really helps us out is our track guy, Tommy Johnson Jr. He'll come back and say, hey, the track is tight here. It's tight here, and you got to be careful here, and you want to make sure you have the car in this area to track. And that's the information that really helps all of our teams out. And then we'll go out there and say the track can run a hold like a 380 pass. So we all know what we need to put on our car to make it run 380. So that's where we go out there. That's where it really helps out each other. When you see your teammates, you know what they're capable of. They go out there and they run like a 378. You know, you need to go out there and say, okay, I know what it takes to run that 378. You could dial in your car and run that 378. And that's where it really helps having all these multiple cars on these teams.
You know, that's the one thing that may be overlooked by a lot of the fans is the track specialist that everybody has that goes out there. And, I mean, they got the little guns pointing down at the pavement. They got rags. They're doing samples. They're doing wind. They're doing everything. And it really does come down to that to make a difference for you when you go down the track if you know what the conditions are. And they are, I mean, it's a science.
It's a true, true science, and that's why those guys are out there so long and doing what they do. And I mean, it's one of those deals where you go out there and you're sampling rubber on a racetrack, and you got a torque gauge that tells you the torque of it. Then you're actually going out there measuring the bumps in each tire groove, and they lay it down on a chart, and they graph everything out so the guys can know where it's at, where the tracks are empty, and where the tracks are empty, and then... And then what happens is that you know where to take a little timing out or adjust the car or make the car do this. And, you know, it gives the crew chiefs a little peace of mind when they know what they have to work on and try to make better.
Now, this weekend you're going to Gateway outside of St. Louis. You haven't been there for a while. The series hasn't been. What do you look for? I mean, here's a track no one's raced on. It's sat there. It's gotten baked the last couple of years in the sun that we all know St. Louis has. I mean, 110 is kind of the usual temperature, it seems like, in the summer there. What do you expect this weekend?
Oh, well, we expect, man, right now, the weather's going to be, is going to be cool. Like we're just, like you're talking about, we got to go out there. We can expect to say, hey, you know what, if it's cool and we know the safety spar is going to do a bang up job on getting the track ready for us. I mean, it's going to be, so it's going to be probably some of the quickest runs that you've ever seen. We're probably going to set track records there. So that's what we're looking for, and the track's going to be really fast. And I can tell right now that we're in Indy. We're only 2 hours away from St. Louis. It's only 60 degrees today. So with that being said, it's going to be some really, really phenomenal ETs. And we're going to have to run hard if we want to go out there and just try to qualify for the field and get in the show. And then we're going to have to go out there and try to take care of business and see how many rounds we can win out there. That's the game plan.
Do you look at any possible national records that could play into this whole thing, or is that just out of the window? But when you're talking temperatures maybe in the 60s and maybe good air, anything's possible.
Anything's possible out there. And I mean, you never know. But to go out there running 72, it's going to take some mind-boggling deals. And you know, what we're looking at from a standpoint, the track has not been ran on, honestly, for probably like the last 2 years. So if they get it prepped good enough and the weather conditions right, trust me, people will be going for the gauntlet, because that extra 20 points will mean a whole bunch to a lot of people to try to get those points.
Absolutely. Well, I want to congratulate you again, Antron, on your fifth win of the season, being tied for points. It looks crazy in Top Fuel, and best of luck heading over to St. Louis this weekend.
Well, thank you so much. Thanks for having me on. I really appreciate it.
Antron Brown, 5 wins in Top Fuel, tied with his teammate Spencer Massey and Tony Schumacher, the Sarge. Well, he's just a little over 20 points behind in third in the Top Fuel standings. Next up, we're going to turn our attention to a gentleman who got his first funny car win in 2 years, Bob Task III, when we return to Pit Pass USA, part of the Power Motorsports Series and VoiceAmericaSports.com.
School to the pros, we cover everything. Let your voice be heard. Voice America Sports.
Okay, sports fans, here's your opportunity to discuss football, America's favorite sport. On an annual basis, millions of people attend, watch, and listen to football, both pro and college. Ray Ellis Sports, an internet talk radio show, was developed with the fan in mind. Join host former Philadelphia Eagles and Cleveland Browns strong safety, Ray Ellis, on Voice America Sports every Tuesday at 1 p.m. Pacific for exciting, interactive football discussions from the fan's perspective. Tune in every Tuesday at at 1 p.m. Pacific to Ray Ellis Sports, right here on the Voice America Network. And let's talk football.
Looking for the best show about horse racing and handicapping? Want to play the ponies? Join us every week for Winning Ponies with John Englehart, racing's regular guy, where you'll go inside and behind the scenes with the top jockeys, trainers, agents, and handicappers in the world of horse racing. This show is the perfect complement to the Winning Ponies handicapping website. Listen for top plays for the weekend and the spot play of the week, and win prizes just for calling in. Winning Ponies with John Englehart is live Thursdays at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific on the Voice America Sports Network.
Your internet flagship station for sports.
Voice America Sports.
You're listening to Pit Pass USA with Larry Henry. To leave comments or suggest future guests for the show, email us at LarryHenry@PitPassUSA.com. That's LarryHenry@PitPassUSA.com. Now back to more of the fastest show in motorsports, Pit Pass USA with Larry Henry.
Well, beauty is in the eyes of the beholder. It might have been a pedal fest to the finals of the Funny Car last weekend in the NHRA Full Throttle Drag Racing Series down in Dallas. But for this man, it was something to behold because he wound up taking the Wally home in Funny Car. And that's the driver of the Motorcraft Quick Lane Ford Mustang, Bob Tasca III. Bob, congrats on a big win.
Oh, man, big win. You know, I told my team coming into these last six races, obviously it was gut-wrenching, not making the top 10. I said, but fellas, we're going to find out what we're made of, me included. I said, these next six races, we're going to fight as hard as any car out here to put ourselves in a position to win and to leave with some trophies. And, you know, obviously just so happy for the guys. They worked so hard. It was 91-plus degrees out there. We had to put three motors. There was three motor swaps in those four rounds. And obviously they gave me a race car good enough to win. Driver had to do some work in a couple of those rounds, but hey, listen, that's what we're there for. And just so happy to get this win for my guys. And I dedicated the win to all the Ford fans out there and the people behind the Motorcraft, Quick Lane, and Ford Oval that support our program, never lost faith in us. And this was a big win for all of us.
In the finals, you went up against the defending Funny Car champion, who, like you, is not in the countdown to one, Matt Hagan. And as I mentioned earlier, beauty's in the eye of the beholder because this was a pedal fest. You had a 4.826 to his 5.025. You were both working it.
Oh, yeah. No, hey, listen, as a driver, you know, there's probably no greater accomplishment than to know that, you know, your team put you in the position to win. Obviously, track conditions were very, very difficult. Car smoked the tires. I started pedaling it, didn't see Matt, knew that he was in trouble, and, you know, obviously can't take him lightly. He's a great champion, great driver, and, you know, fortunately we came out on the positive side of a real close race. So, that's exciting. You know, Matt and I took him on the moped a couple times after we got done interviews at the top end, and I said, Hagan, it sucked not making the top 10. I said, but let's just make it miserable for everybody out there. And, you know, obviously that's a great team over there, and they'll fight hard these next four races. But hey, this Motorcraft Quick Lane car, we got a little momentum. I love the fact that we're racing this weekend in St. Louis, and we'll carry that momentum here this weekend, hopefully pick up another win or two before the end of the year.
Your car, and you and I have talked about this before, has been so strong. It's put down great ETs each and every weekend. Yet this was your first win since Englishtown back in 2010.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. I mean, it just goes to show you how humbling this sport can be. I mean, you know, you got guys like Tony Schumacher in 2 years, almost two years, won one race. And, you know, John Force has won two races in the last 2 years. So, you know, these wins are very, very difficult to get. We've been to multiple final rounds, many semifinal rounds, but, you know, just didn't get that bounce when we needed it. And obviously in Dallas, we got the bounce we needed, and you know, we took advantage of the opportunity and walked away with the trophy. So hopefully, they say it comes in swings. So if that's true, Larry, we're going to be getting a lot of wins here.
How much weight, though, does that take off your shoulders? I mean, you're out there, you're running well each and every week. Maybe there's some bad luck or the wrong lane you happen to be in, and you start wondering, are we doing all the right things when it goes so long between wins?
Well, you know, people said, you know, we weren't in the countdown and the pressure's off. And let me tell you something. When you pull into a race with the blue oval on your hood, the pressure's on. You know, we expect to win. They expect to win.
And, you know, clearly for us to have come so close so many times but not win in such a long period of time, you know, that pressure just builds. So it's great to get that monkey off our back and, you know, stay focused on the task at hand. And that's, you know, working hard, digging deep, and fighting. But I think it really speaks volumes of the character of our team, though, because, you know, to struggle the way that we have, we've had a great car. We haven't had a consistent race car. You know, been in the top 10 the whole season and fall out of the top 10 at the last race in Indy. You know, this was a character test. And, you know, I said it to my guys. I said, it's real simple. We're going to find out what we're made of, and we're going to find out just how bad we want to win. And to come out in Dallas in very challenging conditions and pick up that win, you know, I'm just proud of Mark Denner, Chris Cunningham, the two guys that lead this team on the crew chief side. And, you know, the guys that have worked on the car have done a great job this season. It's great to get that win, and I know the morale's a whole lot higher than it's been, and that can only be a positive thing.
Bob, you touched on this earlier, but what does it say when the two guys that are fighting over the Wally in Dallas both are not in the countdown to one? I mean, you've got 10 stellar drivers and cars that are in that countdown, and yet it's two guys that are not in it that wind up fighting for the title.
Well, it just goes to show how competitive the class is. I mean, it's, you know, a hiccup here or there, and Matt and I are in the countdown, and obviously a bounce the wrong way, we weren't in the countdown, but, you know, Matt's a defending champion. I mean, we're a championship contending car, and we miss it by an eyelash. I think we both missed it by a half a round. So it speaks volumes on just how competitive it is. You know, I laughed watching the Olympics, and, you know, I think Phelps there won by a hundredth or half a hundredth of a second, and people were going crazy. Well, that's where we live. We lose races at 330 miles an hour by thousands of a second. And it's just a tribute to the class. I mean, obviously it's gut-wrenching for the teams, but for the fans, I mean, that's why the NHRA fans are so passionate, so loyal. They love what we do. They respect the fact of how competitive it is. And when you can go out there and win for your fans and your sponsors, there's no greater feeling. That puts all the sins, you know, all the losses over these last, you know, 2 years behind us now, and we can really look forward on picking up some more wins.
I know this win, as you mentioned, has picked the team up, and they probably need that because if my math is right, I think this is the fifth week in a row, thanks to the rain out at Indianapolis, that you're on the racetrack competing, and you've still got a couple of more to go in this stretch that are back-to-back.
Well, it was the fifth plus testing before Indy, so that's six. This will be it'll be 8 weeks straight by the time we roll out of Reading of racing. And, you know, clearly that puts a toll on the guys, on your parts, on your whole program. But, you know, this Motorcraft Quick Lane team, we want for nothing. We have all the resources we need. I've said all along, need a little bit of luck, which, fortunately we got a little bit of luck in Dallas, and, you know, just keep putting ourselves in a position to win. And this team, trust me, the best is yet to come. We got some big things in store.
Is there anything you do to recharge those guys' batteries? Because they are working their butts off, and you mentioned, too, about all the engine changes you had to do at Dallas. I mean, and it's not cool. It was 90-something in Dallas. As we all know, it's always warm down there. I mean, they are just working like bandits.
Okay, one thing. When that wind light comes on, it all, you know, all the work, you know, is worthwhile, and that's all the motivation these guys need. You know, it's just, you just can't. You can never stop believing, you know, in your team and your driver and your crew chiefs in the direction of your program. And these guys fought real hard this season. And when those wind lights kept going on Sunday, that was all the motivation they needed.
This weekend, and you touched on it very briefly earlier on, you go to St. Louis to Gateway. What do you look for there? That's an interesting facility that is right off the interstate going into St. Louis. Big truck stop across the street, which is a great place to stop from time to time. But what about it there at a Gateway this weekend?
Oh, yeah. We raced there the first 3 years that I was on tour, and, you know, just a great place to go. It's a little smaller venue than some of the other races, but that makes it, you know, I think even more exciting with how close the fans are, and just good to be back. I mean, you never want to see a track fall off the tour. And, you know, obviously there was some problems last year with the economy, and great to have it back on tour. And truthfully for us, we got some momentum. We want to get racing again. It's great to be back to back. And then we go to Reading, Pennsylvania, a place where I've won twice in my alcohol car and once in my fuel car. I just absolutely love racing at Maple Grove. That's like a home track for me. And then a little bit of a break, and then we go Vegas Pomona. So this is the crunch time in the season. It's going to be as exciting as it's been all season long to see, you know, how the championship cars are, you know, how their points are stacking up, and how much damage can me, Hagen, and Tony Pedregon, and Alexis, and, you know, all the cars that on in, how much damage can we do? It's going to be fun to see.
Is there any quirks to the track at Gateway? And you mentioned no racing there last year, so I'm sure the safety safari's got to do a lot of work going into the weekend.
Yeah, you know, I don't really remember, to be honest with you. It's been a year or two since we've been there. I'm sure the track has certainly changed a little bit, just going through winters and so forth. Every track changes, but it won't take as long to get a handle on it. I'm sure NHRA and the Safety Safari, they do a great job getting racetracks ready. And I'm sure come Friday afternoon when we get ready to hit the throttle, that track will be ready to go.
Well, Bob, again, congratulations on a long overdue victory. I know it's picked up the whole team, and good luck the rest of the way, creating, as you say, havoc for everyone that's in the countdown to one.
Hey, thank you so much. So proud to represent Ford Motorcraft and Quick Lane. They deserve this win, and we're thrilled to get it for them. We'll try to pick up a few more now.
Bob Tasker III gets his first win in 2 years back in 2010 at Englishtown. The last time he tasted victory, we'll see if he can do two in a row as they go to Gateway, a little drag strip just outside of St. Louis. It's actually over on the Illinois side, and as I mentioned in the intro, it's probably a big, big truck stop right off Interstate 70, but you can see downtown St. Louis from it. Next up, we are going to turn our attention to... How about the debut of the Nissan Delta Wing in the United States? The car is going to fly again, this time at Petit Le Mans Road, Atlanta. We'll talk to one of the co-drivers, Gunnar Jeanette, when we return to Pit Pass USA, part of the Power Motorsports Series on VoiceAmericaSports.com.
Your internet flagship station for sports, Voice America Sports.
If you want to talk about the East Coast sports scene, particularly from the Southeast, make sure you tune in to the Jeff Owen Show every Tuesday. Yeah, we'll talk about some of the other teams and news that's out there, but host Jeff Owens and co-host Tasha Humphrey know the inside and out of the Georgia college sports world, and they were born there, raised there, and still live the scene. We'll talk about every sport imaginable. Tune in on Tuesday at 7 p.m. East Coast time, 4 p.m. in the West, on the Voice America Sports Channel.
Want to experience football from the perspective of two former players who also have coaching experience? Tune in to Sports Info UM with Daryl Oliver and Sam Sword. We'll talk about the drafts, play-by-play, and even what's happening in the offseason. Daryl and Sam have the connections and the knowledge to bring you the inside stories of the game's past, present, and future. We'll cover the camps, on and off field, and everything else, football and beyond. Sports Info UM is heard Mondays at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific on the Voice America Sports Channel.
This week on The Revolution with Jim and Trav, brought to you by Whitetails Extreme.
On this week's program, the author of Ducks Unlimited, Guide to Hunting Dabblers, Wade Bourne, plus Hook and Hunt TV's Jim Crowley.
Hey, we're also going to hear from John Debney, and he's the vice president of Death of Waterfowl, and also Muddy Water Camel founder Steve Maloney.
When we talk about waterfowl hunting.
Hey, and it's all brought to you by Ram at RamTrucks.com.
Wednesdays at 1 Pacific on the Voice America Sports Channel. I'm Jim Ferguson. I'll see you on the trail.
Your internet flagship station for sports.
Voice America Sports.
You're listening to Pit Pass USA with Larry Henry. To leave comments or suggest future guests for the show, email us at LarryHenry@PitPassUSA.com. That's LarryHenry@PitPassUSA.com. Now back to more of the fastest show in motorsports, Pit Pass USA with Larry Henry.
Well, coming up is the final race of the American Le Mans Series, and that will be at Road Atlanta, and that is Petit Le Mans, a car that's going to get a lot of viewers around it, both on and off the racetrack, as a car that made its debut in racing at the 24-hour Le Mans. That is the Nissan Delta Wing, and this young man's getting a chance to drive it. He is the reigning American Le Mans Series PC Class champion, Gunnar Jeanette. Gunnar, congratulations on getting to try out the new fancy car.
Thanks, Larry. I appreciate it, and I really appreciate the opportunity that that everyone involved with the Nissan Delta Wing has given me to make its North American debut at the Petit Le Mans.
I know you've been testing it at Road Atlanta. How does this car feel compared to your old PC or back then the LMPC car?
It's honestly, if you were just driving it and you closed your eyes, you wouldn't notice that many differences of that and a normal LMP type race car. It has great downforce. Still kind of has all the right feelings that you get from a race car. It's a little bit different in the way that the car rotates. But also, you know, it is very light, but it does have a lot less horsepower than most of the other prototype cars out there. So it's you have to drive it a bit more like a momentum car, and you definitely notice some of the hills at Road Atlanta in it, that's for sure. But we did 3 successful days of testing, and I think we're going to be doing some competitive lap times come the race.
What's it like working in a car, getting a chance to race a car that Dan Gurney's involved with, Don Panos is involved with, I mean, Chip Ganassi's behind it, Nissan, Michelin. I mean, there's so many people that are behind the development of this race car. I can't leave out Ben Bowlby, who's the guy who actually designed the car, but to be involved in this project with all these great names of racing behind it.
Yeah, it's very exciting. I mean, you look at all of the people's, you know, resumes and their racing pedigrees that are involved with it, and it's pretty much, you know, the who's who of motorsport between, you know, Dr. Don Panos and Dan Gurney and Duncan Dayton and everybody at Nissan you know, Ben Bowlby, the designer and engineer of the car. It's been absolutely fantastic working with them, and it's really, you know, you look at that list of names and then think, well, gosh, I don't know that my name necessarily belongs in that, but I'm very honored to be involved with the program and happy to get chosen to drive the car.
What is the outlook for Petit Le Mans? Unfortunately, at the 24-hour Le Mans, the weekend got caught short, because one of the things, even though that this car has the speed and the handling of the other cars, the big plus to it is smaller engine, smaller weight, and they kind of got muscled out of the way and ended their day by bigger cars on the track. Well, there's going to be bigger cars out there that weigh a lot more again. When you go to Petit Le Mans, everybody is digging for every inch of track.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And unlike Le Mans, where, you know, you had 8.5 miles for 56 cars, at Petit Le Mans at Road Atlanta, there's going to be probably 40-some cars on 2.5 miles. So there's going to be a little bit less real estate to deal with. So Lucas and myself are just, you know, really going to have to do our best to, you know, stay out of everybody else's way that, you know, are actually racing for class wins there, because we're going to be an unclassified car. But at the same time, you know, we have to stick with our game plan, and that is, you know, to run a good, fast, consistent pace and prove what the car is all about. And that is, you know, with a car that weighs much less and on our small Nissan tires the small Michelin tires and our 1.6 liter, Nissan engine, that we can, you know, basically double the fuel economy while, going the same speed.
Yeah, you mentioned Lucas Ordonez, who is your co-driver. I know you two have been kind of getting to know each other a little more and working with the car.
Yeah, absolutely. Lucas and I, you know, we've kind of seen each other around the WEC races and stuff like that over the last 2 years, but really just met for the first time a couple days ago, and he's a great guy. We're pretty close to the same age, and you know, nice enough for sports car racing, we're the same size, so we can pretty much fit in the same seat, which is a big deal when it comes to multiple driver races. But we've been both having a good time. He has more experience in the Delta Wing, and I have more experience at Road Atlanta, so I think we've been able to bring, you know, a lot each other to the program.
Do you have to change any of your driving style with this car? And I know you talked about it a little bit. Once you get a kind of a feel for it, it doesn't seem that different.
Yeah, you do. You know, as far as hopping in the car and going out of the pit lane the first time and, you know, hitting the pit lane speed limiter and taking off, It wasn't anything that was revolutionary or oh my gosh, this is totally different than what I'm normal or you know what you're used to. So you know, for that respect, it wasn't that bad. But then trying to find the speed in the car, there are you know some different things that you do with the car, at least in its kind of current configuration. Finding lap time in the Delta Wing is not the same as finding lap time in an LMPC car. I think you know you would do two different things to end up getting lap time out of it. And it was really good that we had the 3 days at Road Atlanta for both Lucas and myself to kind of you know figure that out, and we had a good amount of time to both you know work ourselves up to speed.
Speaking of speed, how was your speed? Did you like the speed you had out there when you were testing? I mean, you don't have the other 40, 50, whatever, how many cars have been out there at Road Atlanta?
Yeah, exactly. And the weather was very nice for us there at the test as well. So we improved every day, and the car got faster and faster as it went along, and the speeds that we were doing would have put us, you know, in the meat and potatoes of the LMP2 field last year. So I think it's, you know, kind of, you know, indicative of Le Mans performance as well. So we just need to, you know, get to race week and then see what everybody, rolls out with there.
I keep getting the feeling from what I've seen and we're, you know, the merger coming up in 2014 between Grand Am and the American Le Mans Series, especially what Dr. Pano said at the press conference, you kind of get the feeling that maybe the Delta Wing might be the new PC category at some point in time. What's your feel? I know you really don't have the insight and all, but I just kind of get that feeling because it's so forward thinking.
Yeah, I mean, it's in my opinion way too early to say. I wish I could sit in on some of those conversations that you know Dr. Panos and Jim France are having, because I know that they've had quite a few at this point. But I certainly don't envy the people right now that are doing all of the grunt work for getting the classes combined per se. But I know that you know Delta. The Delta Wing, you know, Dr. Panos really has a passion for it right now, and there's a lot of people that have a passion for it. You know, everybody at Nissan and obviously Ben Bowlby, the designer, and all the people behind it. And I think that it's been a while since there's been something this revolutionary, you know, come to racing and especially sports car racing. So I would certainly like to. Hope that it does have a place, and I know that Dr. P certainly wants it to have a place in whatever the class structure ends up being. I have to admit, I mean, I was one of the first people that when the car came out, I said, "Oh, wow, that's never going to work. How is that going to work?" And I can honestly say that after getting a chance to drive it, it has completely turned me around. I absolutely love the car. It's a hoot to drive.
We're talking with Gunnar Jeanette here on Pit Pass USA. And Gunnar, I'm going to change topics real quickly just for a moment. This weekend, you're going to be in action at Lime Rock. Continental Tire Sports Car Challenge, running with the Grand Am Rolex Series. And, of course, you've been running in the Street Tuner category this year.
Yeah, this year I've been running in the Street Tuner category in the Ford Focus STR. And it's been a development year for us with Ford. We started our first race was at Daytona, and we've been making steady progress with the car. But I tell you what, that ST class is certainly competitive. There are lots of cars and lots of very good, you know, drivers and teams out there. So we have yet to make it on the podium with the STR. We have a couple of fourth place finishes. But, you know, Lime Rock is the last race of the season. We've been doing a lot of work over the last couple races to just try to get everything just right. And we certainly want to end the season on a high note.
Well, Gunnar, again, congratulations on getting the ride and the Nissan Delta Wing. Good luck at Road Atlanta, and good luck at Lime Rock this weekend.
Great. Thanks a bunch, Larry. Appreciate it.
Gunnar Jeanette, who's going to be co-driving the Nissan Delta Wing down at Road Atlanta at Petit Le Mans coming up in October. It is the final race of the American Le Mans Series season. We mentioned about the 24-hour Le Mans kind of got bumped out of the way by a bigger car, and that ended their day. But a lot of promise in this car, and Dr. Don Panos is really behind it. You got Dan Gurney involved. You got Chip Ganassi involved. You got a lot of people involved in this thing, and I really have the feeling that they want to make it the new PC car once they get the merger worked out between Grand Am and the American Le Mans Series. Well, that's going to wrap it up for tonight. I'd like to thank my guests, Lee Spencer from FoxSports.com, Antron Brown, Don Schumacher Racing, Bob Tasta III, Buttercraft Quick Lane Ford Mustang, and Gunnar Jeanette of the Nissan Delta Wing. Thank you for listening tonight. Don't forget you can always email me, Larry Henry at PitPassUSA.com, Larry Henry at PitPassUSA.com. We are also on Twitter, Pit Pass USA, where we usually post who our guests are. And, of course, you can listen to this on iTunes and also PitPassUSA.com or VoiceAmericaSports.com. It's archived. Have a great weekend. We'll see you next week right back here on more of Pit Pass USA.
For this week, time to get ready for another great week of racing to talk about next time on Pit Pass. Tune in next Tuesday at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, for another fast-paced 200-mile-per-hour edition of Pit Pass USA with Larry Henry on Power Up, your motorsports channel.